Isn't God's presence just amazingly awesome? Isn't God's presence just amazingly awesome? Yes, it is. God is so good. If anybody sees my water bottle, I would love it right now. Yeah, I'm done wearing shoes. Thank you, Karen. I thought I brought it up with me, and I didn't. Hi, my name is Wendy. I'm the co-lead pastor here of Mercy Vineyard Church. And here at Mercy Vineyard, our mission is... Wait, don't put it up, Karen. Oh, take it down. Take it down. Let's see if we can say it. We are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. All right, good job. Gold stars. So that is our mission. That is what we're here for. That's everything that we do is that. That's what we want to do. So we are in a series on the book of 1 Corinthians. But before we get into that, I want to talk to you a little bit about what happened last week, because there was a number of us at Royal Family Kids Camp last week, and it was amazing. And so I just wanted to share with you a little bit of how things went. And we took 33 campers this year, and last year we took 26. So that was exciting to be able to up that by, how many is that? I can't count today. Thank you. 7. And then we had 55 full-time volunteers, and then we had 12 part-time volunteers. So it was a huge undertaking, right? Our budget was about, for Camp and Club, $50,000, and we raised $52,000. So that is super exciting. We're fully funded for Club this year, and our able to pay the bills for camp without sweating. So that is totally, totally God. And amazing. I mean, look around you. This church, we raised $52,000, you guys. That's amazing. Well, God did, right? We just cooperated with him and what he was doing. This was our first year doing camp after club, having club all year. And I think the rest of you would agree that the kids that had been in club all year, we saw a real difference in them at camp this year versus last year. So it didn't take long. They just felt safe from the get-go. We came here for registration, and Kayla and I were sitting over there checking the kids in, and they were all around us. Can I say the next number? Can I help? Can I? And, like, they're just everywhere. Yes, yes, yes. Everybody gets a turn. But they were never like that before. Even if they knew us, they would come in and just kind of be real shy and be like this. But not our club kids. They were right there, like, in our faces. So that was kind of awesome, because that means they feel safe here in this building and with us. So that was a real testimony to what's happening in club throughout the year. But I want to tell you a story about one of our new campers this year, and I'm going to call her Heaven. She's a 10-year-old girl, and her application said that she would probably steal, and that she lied a lot, and that she had behavior problems at school. We didn't see any of that at camp, most likely because she felt safe and heard and valued. So recently, parental rights were terminated for Heaven, and so just like any child, no matter how their parent treats them, they still love and want to be with that parent, because that's just how we're born, right? We want to be with our mom and dad, and it's crazy because you think about the things that have happened to these kids and what their parents have done, and yet they still want to go home, because that's all they've ever known. So she really, she doesn't get to have contact with her mom, and she loves and misses her. However, the good news is she's being adopted into a forever family very soon. So there's hope around the corner for her. So she said when she filled out, we have these papers that we give the kids towards the end of the week where they just write down why they like Royal Family Kids Camp. And she listed a few things, but she said that the best part about camp was breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Which means for her, she might not always get breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Which would explain why sometimes she steals food. But at camp, she did not steal food because there was breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and three snacks. Kids were always eating. So for her, she felt safe and that she knew that there was going to be food around the corner. She didn't have to steal. She knew she could trust us to do that. But I wanted to read to you her letter to God, if I can. Dear God, I'm glad you're here for me when I get hurt. And then when I get too angry, you make me walk away or not say anything. Also, I was told a story on Wednesday, July 24th, 2019, about you and Mary. It's her first time hearing about Jesus. Also, the first people on earth were Adam and Eve. So I like you, God, very much. It was her first opportunity to hear about Jesus. And we got to be a part of that. So that was amazing and fantastic. And I have one more story to share with you. But first, we're going to show you the recap video. This year was the first time that we had an opportunity to have a former camper come back and volunteer. And don't look at me, Lori. Love it. I can do this. She waited for 4 years. She's been asking through her social worker to come back because she's still in foster care. And she's been waiting for 4 years to come back and serve. And she finally got to come back this year. And she was amazing. And, you know, sometimes we wonder, because we don't always have the opportunity to hear how it changed them or what happened, or, I mean, other than the Dear God letters, but we don't always know, like, if down the line, did we make a difference? Is it a long-term difference? Did this matter? And so having her come back was amazing. And we do what we call heart notes at camp, which are like camp mail, just notes of encouragement and love to one another. And Lori, one of our staffers, received a heart note from this returning camper that showed us that those moments really do matter. And it said, "When I was a camper in 2015, you made me feel special when you came to play basketball with me when I was alone. You have a gift of making people feel special." And Lori got that note and thought, I guess I remember going to play basketball with her, but I didn't remember it until this moment. And she had no idea in that moment when she went in to play basketball with her, she had no idea what it meant to Janine. But now we do. And she said that she learned, she told another staffer later that that simple act was a turning point in her life. That moment mattered. And she's still not sure what she thinks about God. But she was willing to come and sing songs with us about God and tell Bible stories about God. And she's remaining open. And I believe that as she spends time with us, that those wounds are going to heal and God's going to touch her in those places. So thank you for those of you that prayed, those of you that went, those of you that gave, because you are part of what made those moments matter, and you are part of what made a difference. No matter how small, just like that small act, those little tiny things make a huge difference. So thank you for everything that you did to make that happen. So, okay, deep breath. So this morning, I should have done that last. It would have been easier, but we're continuing our series on the book of 1 Corinthians, and I do think that it's fitting what we're going to be talking about today, that it's fitting with everything that we lived out last week. So Lee started us out last week. This Corinthians was a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth that he had founded. And last week, Lee talked about understanding God's thoughts, and that comes through close relationship with him, and that we need to refrain from judging God, that we need to reject the world spirit and to be filled with the Holy Spirit, taking on the mind of Christ, right? So this morning, we're going to move on to chapter 3. And so when you think of the church, what is the first thing that comes to mind? Don't answer that. But just think about that. When I think about this church, I'm super grateful. The first thing that comes to mind is gratitude. I'm just so thankful for my church family. And hopefully you are too. Hopefully you think good things when you think about our church. But looking back in the history of Christendom, and even in some cases the present time, we may not necessarily see the character of God displayed in the church. Am I right? Yeah. And there's some amazing things Lee shared recently about the church and the things that the church has done. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul is even exhorting the church of Corinth because they are living in many ways that reflect Christ. So they're doing a good job. But there are also not so good things that we see in the history of the church, and where our actions were not defined by the cross. And I think we can all agree with that. And we probably all have someone in our lives who has been hurt by the church, or we ourselves have been hurt by the church. And sometimes, honestly, in those cases, honestly, it can be one person in the church that hurt us, but we think of it as the church, right? Or maybe it was one pastor, but sometimes we think about the pastor as representing the whole. The pastor is a human being, and they will make mistakes, I guarantee it. I've made like 5 this morning, so, and Lee has made like 6, so I'm just kidding. That was my 6th mistake, was calling him out. So, yeah. But I'm here in this church because I believe that the church was established by God to rescue the ones that he loves. I believe that with all of my heart. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. I said yes to plant a church because I have hope for us as the church, as the body of Christ. And I have hope that we can bring God's kingdom here on earth. And I'm here, I said yes to plant a church because I believe that we can do much more together than we can apart, as evidenced from last week. No one person could do that. But all of us together, we can do it, right? So that's why I believe in the church. Because without this body, that would not have happened. So I imagine that you are here for one of several reasons. Either you believe in the church enough to at least give it a shot, right? Or you too have hope that we can make a difference. Or maybe someone dragged you here. Or maybe you're here out of guilt, which is okay. You're here, right? But what is the church meant to be? And who is the church meant to be? And how can the church display the character of God? Because that's what we're meant to do. We're going to talk about that, but let's pray. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. We thank you for your presence that's already here in such a tangible, real way. And we just want to do what you want us to do. I want to say what you want me to say. And I don't want to be in your way. So, Lord, would you just have your way? Would you make your word come alive in us today? And would you bring truth and revelation to our hearts in a way that only you can? In Jesus' name, amen. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 3, and we're going to read verses 16 through 19. And it'll be up here on the screen if you want to follow along. It says, "Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives in you? God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Stop deceiving yourselves. If you think you are wise by this world's standards, you need to become a fool to be truly wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God." So here's what I want you to remember this morning. The church is the people who collectively aspire to live, love, and serve like Jesus. So it's thought that at the time of this writing, of this scripture, that the glory of God began to be recognized as within a building, right? They built these beautiful temples for God's presence to dwell. And they were built to show the glory of God. And even like if you look at old cathedrals and old churches, I just lost my train of thought for 5 seconds. They were built because in really ornate and beautiful because they wanted to show the glory of God through the building. But when the church began, there was no building. They all met in homes, right? So when Jesus was talking about the church, and even when Paul was talking about the church, they were talking about the people. The New Testament term for church is ecclesia. I'm not going to say it right. Ecclesia, thank you. And it means called out ones. That's what church means. We are, that's us, the called out ones. So the church is the body of those who have surrendered their lives to Christ, and therefore they're growing in the direction of Christ-likeness. They're the called out ones. And God does want a temple to dwell in, to show his glory, and to display his character, but that temple is us, his people. He wants to dwell in us and display his character and his glory and his beauty through you and through me and through us collectively. So to the degree that we love like Jesus loves and forgive like Jesus forgives and serve like Jesus serves, to the degree that we care for the sick, we love our enemies, and we reach out to the outsider is the degree to which we are the temple. The criteria is the cross. So we are to be manifesting his beauty and to be showing what it looks like for God to live inside of someone. And when God lives inside of a people group, they begin to look and serve like God. So to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God is our mission because it is our calling as the church and as the body of Christ. That's what he's called us to do. And it sounds great, and we probably all think we know what it entails, but I want to break it down just a little bit further into questions. There's three questions you can ask yourself every day that will help you to display the glory of God and reveal his character. So the first question we can ask ourselves is this: am I living counter to the culture? So why is this important? It's important because the message of the cross is at odds with the message of the world. It's completely different. So we talk about being relevant, and being relevant is a value here at Mercy, but relevancy does not mean that we act like the rest of the world. It just means that we find ways to connect with them. Okay, so the cross says completely different message than the world. The cross says to lay down your rights. The cross says not to take revenge when someone wrongs you. The cross says to sacrifice for those who may not always deserve it or who can't repay you. The cross says to forgive those who have despitefully used you. And the cross says to treat others as Christ has treated you, not how they've treated you, but how Jesus has treated you. Wow, that's a hard one. Verse 19 that we read earlier, it says, tells us that the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. So that means that living like Jesus will cause us to live counterculturally, right? If we go by the wisdom of the world, then we're not living like Jesus. And it's super easy to do because we're walking in this world every day. But we have to remind ourselves that we are citizens first of the kingdom of God. We first belong to him. And so how do we act as citizens of the kingdom of God? And the next question is, who are the enemies I am to pray for? That's a weird question, isn't it? Greg Boyd says, he's a pastor and teacher, and he says that there are two people Christians should always be praying for. Someone who doesn't know Christ, should be praying for someone who doesn't know Christ every day, and someone you might or actually do consider an enemy. So maybe you would say that you don't have any enemies, but I bet you could think of somebody who rubs you the wrong way. I bet we can all think of someone like that. And if you can't think of anyone, pray for someone in government, because I'm for sure you can think of someone there that you could pray for every day, right? I'm praying for your enemies changes you. Even if you don't think it's doing anything in them, it will change you. God will make sure of that. And it will transform your heart, and it will make you more like Jesus, because he prayed for those who crucified him. They killed him, and he prayed for them. And so if we're going to be like Jesus, we need to pray for our enemies and pray for those who hurt us. Right? You begin, and when you do that, you begin to see more of what Jesus sees in them. And you, God begins to open your eyes to what's going on in their heart and in their lives. You begin to have compassion and empathy for that person. And you'll find that you're able to tolerate them a little bit better if you're praying for them. It's really hard to stay mad and ugly towards someone who you're praying for. It's really hard. So, who are the enemies I'm to pray for? And then the last question is, who do I serve today? Because the kingdom begins when we sacrifice for others. And the church should be marked by how it serves others. And since we, you and me, are the church, the way we serve others as individuals matters. So we need to live in this question. Who do I serve today? Got to live in it. This is why, as a church, we do work to better our building, to improve our building and increase our staff, but we're always going to reach outward, even when it seems like we can't afford to. So this is why Lee and I have not, well, no, you haven't. He hasn't had a raise in the full time we've been here, right? 7 years. But the reason for that is, and that's not so you guys can, like, you know, pat us on the back. That's not what that's about. It's to help you to see that we don't want a raise if it means we can't reach out and touch our community. That's what we're here for. So it doesn't matter. There's no reason for us to be here if we're not going to make a difference in the community around us. So sometimes we feel like we can't afford to do the things that we do, but we will spend our resources on camp and club. We will. God always provides when we do. And we will spend resources on community on a mission day and on the Halloween party and on the building across the street so we can reach out to our community. So no matter how drippy this building is or the little issues that we have. And, you know, you guys are so awesome because you don't complain about the issues that you see. And know that we do care, but we care more about reaching the lost. And we care more about touching people that need Jesus than we do about our building being completely comfortable for everyone, right? So we will be a church that sacrifices for others and for the kingdom to be expanded. That's what we're going to do. And if we stop doing that, we're just going to close our doors. Because I know that Lee doesn't want to be here if we're not going to do that, and I definitely don't. We're not here to just enjoy Sunday mornings. We're here to make a difference, change our community. Y'all are with us, aren't you? I know you are. That's what displays the beauty of the Lord. When we seek to build someone else's life, to help them succeed, to help them grow, to help them find hope, that's when we look like Jesus. That's when we display his glory and his beauty. And sometimes this will be a foster child or a refugee or a homeless person. But it can also be your spouse or your child or your mom. Right, boys? Your mom. It could be somebody that you sit next to in church. Because Jesus said in John 13 that they, the world, that they'll know that we are his by our love. And we often find it easy to love those who don't know him, but not so much each other sometimes. But we're called to love each other in the same way and serve each other. And sometimes some people are great at loving others like us, but they're not so great at loving people outside of the bubble. And that's not showing God's love either, right? So we're called to love both. And speaking, this is just a little aside, but speaking negatively about the church as a whole is completely counterproductive to what we're trying to do. The church has its faults, but the church is made up with human beings who make mistakes. So when we speak, I just implore you to be careful about how you speak about the church as a whole, especially to people who don't know Jesus or who are away from the church, because it's counterproductive to what we're trying to do, to build the kingdom of God. Because there are people in the church that do love. There are people in the church that do show grace and mercy to others. Y'all are sitting in here. So if we're seeking to serve those that are easy to serve and those that are hard to serve and those that are in the church and those that are outside of the church, then we're going to look more like Jesus. And the purpose of the church is to reflect Jesus. And we're all called to be ambassadors of the kingdom. We all have gifts to bring. Every single person in this room has a gift to bring to the church, to the body of Christ. And we just have to be willing. We have to be willing to live counterculturally if we expect to live like Jesus did. And we have to pray for our enemies if we want to love like Jesus did or does. And we have to serve those around us rather than seeking our own interests if we want to serve like Jesus did. So my question this morning is, are you ready to be the church that Jesus came to build? It takes sacrifice. It does. And I'm not talking about, like, in an unhealthy way, give up everything, you know, don't take care of yourself, you know, so you can serve others. But sometimes I think that, man, we got to find that radical middle where we're taking care of ourselves and we are giving ourselves time to refresh and renew. But we're also not so guarded with our time that if God says for us to presents an opportunity for us to serve, we just, that's my one night at home this week. I mean, I'm not saying do that all the time, give in all the time, but like once in a great while, it's okay. God will replenish you and refresh you. So I want to pray, and I just want you to think about these things as we pray. And Ian, you can go ahead and come. So where are you maybe adopting the ways of the culture rather than the ways of Jesus? And I just invite you to surrender them today, like we were talking about during worship. Surrender them to his way. We want so badly to do things our way, but he's the one who saves us. He's the one who rescues us. So surrender to doing things his way. Or where are you holding on to anger or unforgiveness towards others? Today, I encourage you to let it go and begin praying for that person today. And where are you refusing to sacrifice even though Jesus has called you to something? Just let God know that you're willing and that you're available. He will make sure that you have what you need. We talked about Psalm 23 at camp this week. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. You already have it because he is your shepherd. So I just encourage you to get prayer this morning. There's prayer member here and also in the back. They'll pray with you about anything, but just let God speak to you about the ways that he would have you, things that he would have you let go of.